If you would please take your Bible and let's go to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 5. We've been talking about in the weeks past here about two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. And the Bible describes those two choices as walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh. Walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh. Two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. We know that the lost person cannot please God. The lost person can't walk in the Spirit. The lost person is at enmity against God. And he cannot be subject to the law of God. He needs Christ. He needs to be saved. He must be born again, Jesus said, if you're going to see the kingdom of God, if we're going to have fellowship with God. But for those who have trusted Christ, who have come by faith, recognizing they are a sinner and recognizing that Jesus is their only hope, that Jesus, God the Son, gave his life so that we could be saved. And those who trust Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us. And we have the privilege then of walking with him. I want you to notice in Galatians chapter 5, we'll just go to verse 25 at the moment here. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25, the Bible says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we are saved, we live in the Spirit. He lives in us, we live in him. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If we have been born of the Spirit, we have the life of God, eternal life, dwelling in us. And so we notice the contrast in verse 25, that it is possible for us to live in the Spirit, that is, to be saved, but to not walk in the Spirit. You see, as a saved child of God that I am, I recognize that there's been many, many times that I've walked in the flesh. And the reality is we can't walk in both at the same time. Now, in the same day, we can walk in both. We can be walking in the Spirit and then get off track and resort to our default setting of the fleshly life. That is possible, and it's possible for us to be living in the flesh and to come to God and see his reviving in our heart, to walk in the Spirit. And so God wants us to moment by moment, that is step by step, to walk with him, walk in the Spirit, and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we've been talking about these things here, and let's notice some scripture further. We'll back up actually in chapter 5 here. And it says down over in verse 16, it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's key to the victory in the Christian life. The victory over the flesh is for the Christian to walk in the Spirit. Not just live in the Spirit, but walk in the Spirit. Verse 17 reminds us that the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. So, the battle in the inner man. To please self or to please God. To walk in the Spirit or to walk in the flesh. Noticing the contrast in fruit. It says down in verse 19, it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. And it lists 17 things. This is not an exhaustive list, but it lists all those sexual sins, uncleanness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, fighting, strife, you know, just all that kind of lustful, envying, jealousy, murders, drunkenness, and all, just a lot of things wrapped up in the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh. We know what it produces. It produces all that ugly stuff, the jealousy, the pride, the strife, the envy, corruption it is. But in contrast, God tells us in verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, read it with me, the first word there, the fruit of the Spirit is
love.
Love. And of course, there are nine fruit mentioned here. The word is not plural, it's not fruits. When the Spirit is dwelling in us, all of these things should be, to one degree or another, manifest in our life. But when the Spirit of God has freedom in our life, when we are walking in the Spirit as a child of God, these things should be evident on the branches of our life. These things should be flowing out of our life from God. These fruit are not things that we should try to produce by human effort. Not that we, you know, the first one being love, not that we shouldn't make an effort to love. I mean, certainly we should, and God tells us in other places that we are to love one another, and it's a command, it's not an option. We are commanded to love. So, not only to love God, to love one another, all those kinds of things, but God tells us that the key to the Christian life, the key to the fruitful life is abiding in Christ. Walking in the Spirit, I believe, is the same concept as John 15, abiding in the vine. You see, I believe it's possible for someone to be saved and not abiding, right? Just like it's possible for someone to live in the Spirit but not walk in the Spirit. Just because I'm saved doesn't mean I am yielded to the Lord. We can be saved and stubborn. We can be saved and rebellious. Or we can be saved and yielded. And when we're saved and yielded, obedient, dependent, the fruit will flow into our life, through our life, and from our life. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 4, he said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. We're going to talk this morning about the fruit of the Spirit, love. Love. We're going to focus on love. I want you to notice that this is the first characteristic that flows from God into the life of the Christian who is abiding in the vine. This is the first characteristic that flows from God into the life of the Christian who is abiding in the vine. Please take your Bible over to 1 John. 1 John and chapter 4. Let's notice verse 16. 1 John 4 and verse 16. The Bible says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. I want you to say that those three words right packed in the middle of this verse that tells us something about God, and it tells us something about love as well. All right? Right in the middle of verse 16, there's the three words, God is love. Let's say that together, all right? God is love. One more time. God is love. God is love. You see, from God flows love. If we were able to take God apart, you know, dissect him and open him up, as it were, of course, figuratively speaking here, but if we were able to open him up and find out what's inside, we'd find a whole lot of love. Because God is the source of love. Let me help you understand something this morning. If God wasn't, there wouldn't be love, all right? If God wasn't, there wouldn't be love, because God is the source of love. Now, there's a lot of other things that wouldn't be either. But the reality is that love is from God. God is love. He is the embodiment of love. We're going to notice here this morning a definition of love. And for this, we're going to look to three Greek root words for love. I reviewed these a little bit last week. And so three root Greek words for love. We have, first of all, the Greek word eros. This Greek word is from the same root where we get the word erotic. Erotic. This type of love is a sensual love. Not necessarily wrong, not necessarily sinful, but that's the kind of love it is. A sensual love, a love that's based on a sensation or feeling. This kind of love, it's also defined as sexual passion, although it doesn't always have to be sexual, but a sensational kind of feeling, a euphoria, all right? And so that's eros. Now, we can see that type of love has a place, but we can see where it'll come short. If our love is just based on a euphoria, on a feeling we get, well, when we don't have the feeling, we don't have this kind of love anymore, right? It can come and go. It's based on the sensation, okay? If all you have is puppy love, you're likely to end up living like a dog, right? If all you have is puppy love, you're likely to end up living like a dog. But the second word that we'll look at is the word phileo. This is from the same root where we would get the word philanthropy, all right, which is a care for mankind, someone who's concerned about the social good of society, a philanthropist or philanthropy. And so the kind of love that this is describing is that friendship kind of love, or that brotherly love. Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love, from the same root here, defined even in the meaning of the word Philadelphia. All right, so this is a social kind of love. This is as defined as affectionate regard or friendship. Affectionate regard or friendship, usually between equals, such as brothers, sisters, brotherly love, companionship. All right, so that's phileo. This word is used in the Bible, although this is not the highest form of love. All right? And then we have the third word that we're going to look at, which is the highest level of love. I mean, this is top shelf, top notch, enduring love. And it is the word agape, the Greek word agape. This is the fruit of the Spirit. All right? When the Bible lists the fruit of the Spirit, it lists agape right there, top of the list of nine there of the fruit. It is this agape love. This love is best defined as divine love. When the Bible says, as we just read in 1 John, that God is love, it says God is agape. God is agape. This is a sacrificial love. This is a love that gives even when it hurts. A sacrificial love. The Bible often uses the word charity in our English Bible. Charity. To describe this love. Such as in 1 Corinthians 13. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, etc. It goes on to describe agape love. So divine love, someone defined it this way: the deliberate effort made with the help of God to never seek anything but the best for others, even if they seek what is worse for us. I'll read that again. The deliberate effort made with the help of God to never seek anything but the best for others, even if they seek what is worse for us. Wow. Isn't that what God did for us? I mean, that was the display. I mean, God is love. But it was displayed in Jesus dying on the cross, right? The Bible tells us in John chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world." What's it say next? "That he gave," right? He loved us first. I'll tell you, he loved us before he gave. But because he loved, he went out of his way. He paid the highest price. Even when we were his enemies, for those who cursed his name, for those who trampled on him, who shook their fist at him, who denied him, who he gave his all for them. The deliberate effort made with the help of God to never seek anything but the best for others, even if they seek what is worse for us. Someone else, I believe it's Thomas A. Kempis, who defined it this way, in this simple phrase, to will the good of another. To will the good of another. In other words, if we allow God to fill us with this fruit, right? We don't get this fruit by seeking the fruit itself, but by seeking the giver. If we plant our roots in the soil of God, in the soil of His Word, in the soil of His Holy Spirit, we take in the sunshine that He shines upon us, the fruit on our branches will be this. It will be a care for those who don't care a lick for you. It will be a love for what is really best for your neighbor, what is really needful for your spouse, even if they don't seem to care about you. This kind of love, this is the highest level. This is love that's willing to lay down its life. The Bible uses in John 15, let's just go right over there to the Gospel of John for a moment here, chapter 15, and we're going to look at verse 13. The Bible says, John 15, verse 13, the Bible says, "Greater agape hath no man than this." Greater agape, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Wow. Willing to sacrifice, willing to give it all. You know, what an amazing display of love is it for a troop to lay down his life for the freedom of his people. A soldier to give his life. Wow. That is an amazing display of love. We can see this type of love carried out often in a mother's heart. A mother who sacrifices and gives to love her children and care for them and to do ultimately what is good for them. A mother getting up with a baby in the middle of the night when it's not convenient, when it's not pleasurable to care and minister to the needs of the needy. What a display of love. And so we see this kind of love defined, this agape love, this divine love, really seeking what is best for others even if they are not seeking what is best for us. I want you to notice, as I mentioned already, that God is the source of this love. In other words, if we don't have God, we can't have this love. Because God is the source. Go back to 1 John. We'll look at that here a little further. 1 John and chapter 4. Now we're going to look at verse 7. 1 John 4 and verse 7, the Bible says, "Beloved, or loved ones. Beloved, let us love one another. For love, read it with me, would you hear? For love is of God. Let us love one another. Loved ones, he's writing to believers, to fellow Christians, and he says, loved ones, let us agape one another, because agape is from God. Agape is actually not from God. He says agape, or love, is of God. If we were able to break down agape love, to dissect it and cut a crosshatch so we could examine it, we would find God, the character of God, the person, the element of God, the creator right there. Love is of God. God is love. So notice verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. This is very interesting. I'll state this in another way. We not only said that God is the source of love, but let me state it this way. God is the essence of love. He is the essence of love. Essence. What is essence? What's that word mean? Essence means the ultimate nature of a thing. The ultimate nature of a thing. The most significant element, quality, or aspect of a thing. That's the essence of something. All right? The most significant quality, element, or aspect of a thing. That's its essence. God is the essence of love. Let me say it this way. Love is incomplete without God. Just as life, listen carefully. Somebody may say, hey, I know an unsaved person who doesn't care about God, they're atheist, and they love their children, or they love their spouse, or, okay, well, let me say this a little further. Love is incomplete without God, just like life is incomplete without God. Right? You see people all the time who are walking around incomplete, right? They have life, at least physical life. They don't have spiritual life, though. They're eternally dead. The Bible, or they are dead. They're dead walking around. There is a element of that person that's dead. It's separated from God. Remember back in Genesis when God warned Adam and said, if you eat of that fruit, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but if you eat of that fruit, and the day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. Well, Adam went on to live for hundreds of years, physically. Of course, he started the process of dying, yes. But that day that he ate of the fruit, he was separated from God. Ephesians talks about us being dead. Talks about us being dead in trespasses and sins. And alienated. Well, I'll tell you what, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit of love. The way that God can manifest his love in us and to the world is when we abide in the vine. You see, if we abide in the vine and the sap of the vine flows into our life, inevitably it will show itself as love and the other fruit as well. But it will show itself first and foremost as love. Love. And not the kind of, well, if it makes me feel good, I'll love it. You know, a here one day, gone the next, or I don't love them anymore. Or, no, this kind of love is the love that does what's good for that other person and cares for that person, even if they don't care about us. Let me say it this way. Love is incomplete without God. A marriage is incomplete without God. You can say, hey, I know somebody, they've been married for 60 years and they're not saved. But there's something missing in their marriage. Because God is the source of life. God is the source of love. He is the essence of love. And you know what we need? I was convicted about this. Because when we don't see the fruit, the biblically defined fruit hanging on the branches of our life, as it were, when we don't see that fruit as God describes it, you know what the problem is? It's not with God. It's that we haven't been taking enough sap in. We haven't been abiding. Because he says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, the fruit will be seen. The fruit will come. The natural result of an apple tree abiding in the soil, drinking in the nutrition from the soil and drinking in the sunshine, the natural result is fruit on the branches. And so, the love of God. God wants his love to flow into us. I want you to understand that we as Christians, we perceive the love of God through Jesus. But the world, get this, the world perceives the love of God through the Christian. Not that God doesn't love them directly. I mean, he does. He loves them, and that's why he draws them unto himself. But I want you to understand that we are to be known, the Bible says, by the love we have for one another. Genuine care. I want to tell you about a lady. Many of you will know the name, Madeline Murray O'Hare. She was an avowed atheist of the past century. She went missing and died apparently in 1995. Madeline Murray O'Hare, I believe she was 90 years old, an older lady at the time. But you know what? For years, for even up to her death, she cursed that there was no God. She was an avowed atheist. I believe she was the founder and president of the American Atheist Society or something like that, Society of American Atheists, for many years. And after her passing, they found her diary. And among other striking things in her diary, there was at least, news report records, there were at least a half a dozen times where in her diary in the mid-70s, 1970s, when she was doing much of her activism, I mean, it was part of her whole life, but they were recorded in her diary, "Will someone somewhere love me?" Not on just one page, but the report was that here and there and here, at least half a dozen times, that very phrase, "Will someone somewhere love me?" You see, without God, the world is a dark place. And I want to tell you that we know God. If you're saved, if you've trusted Christ, you know God. The love of God has been manifest to you. If you sit down and you think about it, and you meditate on it, you know God loves you. And what God desires is that the fruit that would come out of our life, having received and abiding in the love of God, that on the branches of our life, would hang for others to pick, would be the love of God. The love of God. So that when people see Christians at Victory Baptist Church, they would see Christians who love one another, who genuinely care, who help one another, and would see Christians who also love a lost world. Even if that lost world, even if those lost individuals don't treat us kindly, God tells us to love, to agape our enemies. To do good to those who would hurt us or persecute us. The world needs to see the love of God. And one of the main ways God wants the world to see his love is through his people. I remember a few years ago when I worked for a farmer up here by Martin, North Dakota, and worked for him. And I remember just a few years ago, my wife was desirous of some apples. And there's a tree out there in one of the yards where we had some grain bins. And there was a little, not a big tree necessarily, but a nice apple tree that was loaded with apples. And I asked Mr. Free, I said, "Are those good apples?" You know, and I asked him, I said, "Can we pick those?" "Oh yeah," he says, "they're good apples." He said, "Go ahead, help yourself." And so one time after work, I picked a bunch of apples, and maybe we went out there together and picked some another time. And we enjoyed apples off there, off that tree. And you know what? Just the other day, last week, I was driving by that gravel road. I haven't been out there in quite a few years. I was driving by that road on my way somewhere else. And I drove by, and I remember, oh, there's that apple tree. And I looked. I didn't stop, but I looked to see whether there were apples on the tree. I couldn't see apples. But you know what? There was a source for goodness. And you know, in our lives, I wonder whether there's a world sometimes, a neighbor, someone across the street looking like Madeline Murray O'Hare. Will someone, somewhere, love me? Will someone, somewhere, love me? God wants us to walk in the Spirit so that His love can fill us. And it can flow through our life and bless others. Love is kind. Love is patient. We'll look more at the description of love next week. Our time is up for today, but this is a biggie. This is huge. And this is not something that God is saying to do on your own. Try to muster up, if you can find it in your heart, to love someone. No. God is saying, look at me. Abide in me. Walk with me. I will fill you with this love, and it will be overflowing. And so the focus is on seeking God and letting God fill us. Yes, we should be yielded and actively cooperating with God and obedient to His word and His call for us to love. Someone once said, to dwell above with the saints of God, won't that be glory? But to dwell below with the saints we know, well, that's another story. Well, that's not how God wants it to be. He wants us to have genuine care for our brothers and sisters, for those in our family, genuine care, doing what's best for them, even if they are not doing what's best for us. A deliberate effort, someone said, made with the help of God to never seek anything but the best for others, even if they seek what is worse for us. Love. God is love. God wants to love through you. Heavenly Father, help us to walk in the Spirit. We recognize that if there's a deficiency in the fruit area, if there's not very many apples on our tree, it is that we have not much sap flowing through our trunk. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to recognize areas where we've been walking in the flesh instead of in the Spirit, when we've been pleasing ourselves instead of pleasing you. Lord, show us those areas so that we might walk in the Spirit and see your love perfected in us. Lord, I thank you for that. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.